shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Harvey Weierman was with us in the last segment, and I apologize, Harvey, that we had to break away to get to our news and to other things that we had to take care of. You were on here telling me in your inimitable way that I have no right to talk about constitutional issues because I'm not a lawyer.
You know, look, Phil, I don't want to come on here and sound like I'm a pain in the you-know-what. I've spent a great many years. Hold on for a minute. I got to spit this out somewhere. A great many years as an attorney, and when I listen to your broadcast tonight, I've been enjoying it very much.
Thank you.
But when you start to talk about the Constitution, and it's the same way, Phil, with a lot of people. I'll listen to a lot of people, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, the Constitution, this and this, and all of that," and I want to just scream. You know, I want to tell them to shut up, just shut your mouths. You know, I hate you. I have such hate for people that talk about it. They don't know what they're going to talk about, you know. So that's my whole thing. And I don't mean to badmouth you, Phil. I think you're a good man. I think you mean well. But I think you've got to be careful because you're going to get a lot of people killed, when they go out into the streets and they try to be all constitutional and they wind up getting their asses handed to them, you know.
What do you mean I'm going to get a lot of people killed?
Well, when you talk about here's what you're allowed to do out in the streets of America by the Constitution of the America, you know, I don't know what are you talking about? You know, you have every right in the world to say how you feel and what you do and everything that you feel about it, and quite literally you have the right to say how you what you want to feel and literally, physically, what you want to put your hand on to feel.
And all right, hold on, Harvey. I mean, with all due respect, we don't have a lot of time.
What do you mean you don't have a lot of time?
Well, you're going on about how I have every right to say how I feel, and what do you mean how I put my hand on something to feel?
I'm saying to you that you have every right to say and express your feelings under the Constitution of the United States of America, even insofar as it has nothing to do with actual feelings, but has to do with what you feel if you were to... Do you understand what I'm saying? I was involved in criminal defense.
No, I don't understand what you're saying. The Constitution tells me I have every right to what?
To express what it is you felt. Do you want me to spell it out?
Yes, spell it out, because I don't know what you're saying. You're saying you have every right to feel it?
I'll do it. Don't tell it. I'll do it, okay?
All right, but I know what you mean.
Great, you know what I mean. What about the other idiot? Do you know?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
All right, so you've got two idiots there that understand me, and you don't?
Are you telling me that I have the constitutional right to express...
What you felt up.
What I felt up?
Yes, that's what I meant about feelings.
Well, I don't know what that means at all. I mean, doesn't that get to...
That's free speech. Oh, my God. Come on, Phil, tell me I'm dreaming, if you're that dumb.
You got some of the weirdest ways of putting things that I have ever heard in my life. I have every constitutional right to express my feelings, including what I feel physically.
Yes, or if you like, what you feel,
what you cupped.
What you cup, yeah. Well, what, are you not going to say anything because you're all angry because I'm a lawyer and you're not?
No, I'm not saying anything because, you know...
Go ahead, say it. Go ahead, say the A word.
Alzheimer's.
No, I don't have Alzheimer's, pal. I don't have Alzheimer's. And I know what I'm talking about. And those two idiots that work for you, they know what I'm talking about. Now, let me get back to this article that was written by Jack Fulbert. And this is the article for the Constitution. And this is the most sacred document that the world has ever known. Now.
You need some water, Mr. Weierman.
Yeah, let me get some water.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Harvey Wireman is on the line with us.
Yeah, Mr. Wireman probably needs water.
I know. He's getting water right now, bud.
I got some water. Honey, find get Grandpa's glasses. Not the big ones from Disneyland, no. I can't. Those are not real glasses. Give me the Dean Adele. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. Hey, Phil, do you know about the Dean Adele glasses?
No, I don't. What, are we doing a commercial here or something?
No, we're not doing a commercial. If you don't want, I won't mention the guy's name, but I got these glasses at the supermarket. You know the ones?
Yeah, I know the ones.
These are great. These are great. I can see. I'm going to tell you something. I got X-ray vision with these things. I'm not kidding. I can see Mars with these. And I put them on, I can look right through a woman's dress.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the glasses I got. What, am I stuttering tonight or something? Hold on, am I stuttering tonight?
No, you're not stuttering tonight. I don't know what you're talking about when you say
I got these glasses from the supermarket that are the name of the guy that you don't want me to mention, okay?
Yes.
All right. And I'm telling you, they're fantastic. I can look through these glasses. I can see right through a woman's panties. I swear to God, I'm not kidding you.
All right, Harvey, whatever, you know.
I don't mean literal. I'm telling you, it seems like I can, though. I'm not nuts. I don't mean literally, but...
Oh, you don't mean literally. So how well can you see with these glasses?
I swear to God that it's like I can see up in outer space. Like, if I go out tonight and I look at the sky, I can see, like, the Milky Way. Not the Milky Way, but I can see depth between the stars. I can see depth between the stars, and I think I can make out broad swaths of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. That's what I mean. And if I look down the street, I can make out... Bob Chisholm lives down the end of the street, okay? He's got that big house that they just built. And I can see everything right through a window. And I don't mean sexual, but I could. I can see his wife. I can look and I can see... It's beautiful. You got to get a pair of these.
And you're buying these in the supermarket?
Yeah, they're the ones that doctor... That you don't want me to mention.
All right.
Okay, so here's the essay. And
where do you get them, Mr. Wireman of Dean Adele glasses?
Well, you can get them at...
Will you not mention the name of the guy, okay?
Yeah, I want to get a pair.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're great. Man, I'm telling you, you can hear another galaxy with these.
You can hear it, huh?
Yeah, what did I say, hear? It almost seems like you can hear better. All right. The Federal Comuniani Convenanada in the Stata Hausa. Ein Violet del Pahia on my toe revise.
Well, you know what, Harvey, you're not speaking English. You don't know how to read, okay?
What do you mean I don't know how to read?
I don't care if you've got glasses that see outer space.
Mr. Wehrman's a lawyer.
I know he's a lawyer. You know something, bud? If you take the side of somebody else against me one more time...
Yeah, well, what are you talking about?
I know he's a lawyer.
I got glasses that see outer space. What are you trying to tell me?
You may be able to see outer space, pal, but you don't know how to reheed. You're saying, Tehe Federal... That's the Federal Convention convened in the State House of Philadelphia to revise the Articles of Confederation.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said, Revahisi Tehe... Jesus, God, I can't believe it. You know...
You're telling me a graduate of law school...
Yes, exactly what I'm telling you, yeah. I'm not telling you what the law means, but I'm telling you that your glasses, whether you can see outer space with them or not, you are not reading things properly.
Okay, not me, all right. Tell me if I... Taroga. What does that mean, Taroga?
Through.
Bobby says through.
Oh, through. Through... Discussion.
Discussion.
And debate.
Debate.
It became a...
Became?
Clear.
Clear. Oh, boy.
What's your problem?
You sound like you just got pulled out of some hospital for people that are brain damaged, and you're learning...
You know something, Henry? I fought for this country in World War II. I swear to God, and if it was in my power, I would make you trade places with one particular Japanese man right now.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, man. I fought for this country in World War II, and if it was in my power, I'd make you trade places with one particular Japanese man right now. Who's that?
I know somebody you killed.
We're going to take a break. I don't need you, Harvey, telling me about the Constitution of the United States. I should never have gotten into the discussion. And take your glasses, and you can see through a woman's dress, you can see outer space and depth between the stars. We'll be back at the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. No, I don't. I'm not interested at all in that particular pair of... Yes, if they want to advertise on the show. But I am not going to say that you can see outer space.
Yeah, but that's what he said.
I don't care if that's what he said. I don't care if that's what he said. You understand?
You talk about having integrity and advertising everything.
Yes, you want to have integrity? Harvey can come on here and say, wow, I bought those glasses at the store, and man, I can see outer space. Good for him. I'm not going to say that. Unless I get a pair of them and I see outer space. Then I will.
If you can see up in outer space anyway.
Bud, I can go outside and see the stars, okay?
Yeah.
But I can't go outside and see depth between the stars. And I can't see wide swaths of the Milky Way. And I can't see the surface of Venus. All the stuff that he claims he can see with those glasses, okay? That he bought at the supermarket for $8. Man, I'm telling you, that's beautiful.
What if it's true, though, man?
Why don't you idiots... You know what? I'm going to give you guys, if you want, I'll give you the rest of the show off. Why don't you go over to the store and get some of those glasses, go outside...
You know, I do, but I'm going to wait till after the show. You want to?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we'll go wait after the show.
Good. You guys wait until after the show, then you go over and get some glasses and see if you can see Mars.
Can we go before just the end?
Bud, do whatever you guys want to do. Don't bother me anymore.
Okay.
All right, here is a news story. Addiction now defined as a brain disorder, not behavior issue. This was something that we'd mentioned when the Amy Winehouse story came out. And, you know, there were all kinds of people saying what a scumbag she is and what a dirtbag she is. And what a, you know, everybody thinks that drug addiction is a character issue. It's not. What? I'll give you an example. What is a character issue? Character issues have to do with motivation, have to do with your word, have to do with using your potential, have to do with using your potential for the better of other people. These are things that one who wanted to quibble might say, well, that could have to do with brain chemicals, too. Why do you think the word holistic exists? It's because at some point there is a connection between emotion and physiology. Where that point of connection is and where it is not is where we can discuss the idea of character as opposed to a disorder. Is it a disorder to be a liar? No, not if you know that you're lying and you are lying to benefit yourself and to harm others, or you are lying to benefit yourself regardless of what it does to others. This is not a brain disorder. This is a character issue. Addiction, on the other hand, when one repeats behavior that is clearly destructive, clearly makes them feel bad, clearly makes them wind up in places they wish they were not, clearly makes them regret the things that they do, clearly makes them depressed and makes them cry and makes them sad and makes them wish they were never born, this is now getting into an area of brain disorder, biochemical disorder. Do you like drink? I like to drink. I need to drink. Do you like what it does? No, I don't. Do you like winding up in a nut house? No, I don't want to wind up in a nut house. No, I don't want to die. No, I don't want to wind up in jail. I wish I could stop drinking. I wish I could stop drinking. Then why don't you? I can't. Addiction is a chronic brain disorder and not simply a behavior problem involving alcohol, drugs, gambling, or sex. Experts contend in a new definition of addiction, one that is not solely related to problematic substance abuse. The American Society of Addiction Medicine just released this new definition of addiction after a four-year process involving more than 80 experts. At its core, addiction isn't just a social problem or a moral problem or a criminal problem. It is a brain problem whose behaviors manifest in all these other areas, said Dr. Michael Miller, past president of ASAM, who oversaw the development of the new definition. Many behaviors driven by addiction are real problems and sometimes criminal acts, but the disease is about brains, not drugs. It's about underlying neurology, not outward actions. The new definition also describes addiction. I'll give an example. They're now finding out that you can control schizophrenia with chemicals, with drugs. They control schizophrenic symptoms. In fact, schizophrenics who are on the right kind of drugs, suddenly they have an integrated reality. Suddenly they see real things and they're talking to real people and they're like, wow, what happened to me? And well, you're talking to people and you hear voices. Yes, I know I do. And so they're able to control that. How? With psychotherapy, with sitting down and finding out why their dad beat them or whether they were molested as a kid? No, by giving them drugs, by giving them chemicals that alter the brain chemistry in a positive way.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know you don't get it. I ain't explaining it either. Okay, just listen.
Listen, man.
2 decades of advancements in neuroscience convinced ASAM officials that addiction should be redefined by what's going on in the brain. For instance, research has shown that addiction affects the brain's reward circuitry, such that memories of previous experiences with food, sex, alcohol, and other drugs trigger cravings and more addictive behaviors. Brain circuitry that governs impulse control and judgment is also altered in the brain of addicts, resulting in the nonsensical pursuits of rewards, such as alcohol and other drugs. In other words, remember what we were saying not too long ago?
Yeah, you said they'd get rid of drugs and stuff in 50 years.
That's right. I said 50 years' time they'll get rid of drug addiction because they're already now in the pharmacology end of things. That is the development of, medical, the development of medicines, treatments. They're developing things to help people. So anyway, long-standing debate has rolled over whether addicts have a choice over these behaviors. This disease creates distortion in thinking, feelings, and perceptions, which drive people to behave in ways that are not understandable to others. So all this question about if you didn't want to drink, you wouldn't drink, and it's a behavior problem, they're finding out now has real biochemical roots. And there's a biochemical,
I don't understand.
What's not to understand?
Well, I mean, you're saying that, like, alcoholic is a... He can't help it and everything. I know that. I've seen my uncle was an alcoholic.
Okay.
So what if you're saying like, they take a drug, they're not going to be alcoholic?
I think that in someday there will be a drug you can take, then you will not be an alcoholic anymore. Exactly. Because there's a biochemical imbalance in the brain that is causing this craving that even though it's a destructive thing, even though every time you drink, you go to jail. Every time you drink, you go to the nut house. Every time you drink, you get injured or you hurt somebody. People still do it. That's not a logical, sensible thing. And it's certainly, we could say, would be the behavior of an insane person. But these people are not insane. In other areas, they're perfectly normal. So now they're saying this is a biochemical thing, see?
Well, I mean, what are you going to take? What kind of drug?
Yeah, what, it's like an aspirin or something?
No, it ain't an aspirin.
Yeah, it's probably taking aspirin or something.
Yeah. You don't tell me I'm taking aspirin, and I ain't going to be no ass. Ha, ha, ha. I don't think you got...
Will you guys shut up for a minute and let me talk? When you're taking a drug, it ain't an aspirin. It's something that these doctors develop that help balance the biochemistry. And in some people, yeah, they'll be able to control alcoholism. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know how it'll be. I don't know who it'll be, but... That's where we're headed. And look, man, I talked about this 2 years ago, and here it is. Here's proofs in the pudding, baby. Now they're saying, well, you know, and stuff like that. Now, where the hell is this story I was supposed to read about the vampire? All right, we're going to get to that. Some nut who, some guy, I don't know what his problem is. Oh, here it is. Texas man bites woman, claims to be a vampire, satisfying need to feed. Yeah, sure, pal. In any event, we're going to be talking about that, the arrest of a 19-year-old Texas man. And Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is going to be joining us on a new fee that he is charging in his restaurant. Ted feels that his celebrity now is such, he should be charging people money if they're going to talk to him. It isn't that he wants to be usurious. It's not that he wants people he didn't want to tap anybody out. But he does feel at this particular time now he has to. But we'll find out, because I don't really know. So that'll be Ted Bell coming up in just a few minutes. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. If you go on our website right now and get a backstage pass, you can look at live streaming video of the show, as well as listen to our audio on the live streaming video feed, and we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here at World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
How much did it cost you?
How much does what cost me?
Storage.
You know, that's nobody's business, but the stuff we talk about off the air.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, you were talking about how much the storage is costing you.
The stuff we talk about off the air is nobody's business. About $6,000
a year. Yeah, I told you.
You win the bet.
Yeah. No, I got stuff in storage. I got to get it out of there, man. I got to get it out of there. I've got to get it out of there. Now, people say, well, then why don't you just get it out of there, Phil? I'll get it out of there. But the thing of it is the difficulty involved has to do with, you know, getting a day off, going over. I mean, I can hire, and I think what I'd like to do is probably hire maybe my son, you know. But they got to know what to move. That's the whole problem. It's been costing me a freaking arm and a leg. And I say this with the greatest of love, and I really mean this, with the greatest of love in my heart for my ex, Maria. I really mean this. I wouldn't wish divorce on anybody. Now, marriage, I'm sure, is just hunky-dory. I see no reason why not to believe that marriage can be a great thing for people. But at the end of the day, and God forbid, if your marriage goes south, all marriage is a business arrangement. And if there is ill will, or if there is anything that is rancorous between yourself and your spouse, your former spouse, you will see very rapidly how much of a business arrangement it is. And this is why so many people become so embittered. And I'm not excusing the behavior of some people. Some human beings need to be locked away in a prison cell for the rest of their lives for the things that they do, the way they treat their children, the way they treat their ex-spouses, the vindictiveness, the hatred that they, you know, you can feel whatever you want. But when you act on these things, some people are violent. I mean, they need to be put in a cage and hosed down once a day and maybe tossed a piece of meat if they're good. But the emotions, I understand. Because, you know, what happens is you are disillusioned. What do they call a cynic, a disillusioned romantic? You know, you go from this world of love and caring and concern, and suddenly you're introduced to a world of business. And everybody trying to stick it to you, and, you know, you feel that you're being unfairly used, and everything is just upside down, and you wish you had never even met the person. I mean, it's ugly, you know, there's no question about it. So anyway, having said all of that, I've got in a storage locker a bunch of stuff that I haven't really dealt with for about 4 years now. Because I wasn't really sure where I was going to be living, and I wasn't exactly sure how much of that stuff I was going to take with me, how much of that stuff I was going to just give to somebody, maybe her, maybe who, I don't know, how much of that stuff is hers that she needs, and, you know, got to get together on this stuff, and oh yeah, by the way, what is the combination to that lock again, and oh yeah, by the way, how do we get into these things can get lost in the overall craziness of what you're going through. And now I'm wondering what the hell happened to the key to the padlock to the thing where I get in and the da-do-da-da-da-da-da. So that's why, bud, I haven't gone and gotten the stuff out. But you know what? This weekend...
Yeah, you always say that.
This weekend, I swear it. This Sunday, it's all coming out of there, and I got news for yous, baby.
Yeah, y'all was talking about that, man. I believe it when I see it.
Okay, then why don't you come with me, and you can see it. In fact, you can help me move it.
No way, no way, no way, man. I don't mind going over there. Look at that. But I sure... God, who's she?
That ain't a she. That's what's his name? Penn.
Penn? Who's Penn?
The guy from the comedy team.
Her?
That's a him.
Oh, that's him without the beard. You're right. It looked like a fat lady. Anyway...
That's really ditch dirty pool.
What's Penn's name, anyway? Biff Penn or Penn Jillette, right? Wasn't he named after the...
Yeah.
Named after the razor? All right. Texas man bites a woman, claims to be a vampire, satisfying a need to feed. Is pop culture to blame? Dateline, Galveston, Texas. The arrest of some jackass 19-year-old punk kid claiming to be a 500-year-old vampire from hell, as opposed to a 500-year-old vampire from heaven or Baltimore or Romania, has raised chilling questions about pop culture's influence on human behavior. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're back to that discussion again, aren't we? Lynn Monroe Bensley is being held in Galveston County Jail after allegedly breaking into a woman's apartment and biting her on her neck. The woman, whose name has not been released, broke free and fled the apartment. Well, what kind of a vampire are you, man? Nobody breaks free of a vampire and flees. She sped to safety in a neighbor's car early Saturday. When police arrived on the scene, they found Bensley wearing only boxer shorts, hissing and growling in the parking lot. He quickly scaled two fences before he was captured, yelling all the while that he didn't want to have to feed on humans. Captain Jeff Hayes of the Galveston County Police Department told ABCNews.com, "I've dealt with some really strange people, you know, guys who think they're Jesus and that, but I never seen anything like this." Yeah, Napoleon Bonaparte, Jesus, or Dracula. Even in jail, Bensley warned guards to restrain him for their own protection, gnashing his teeth with a need to feed, police said. How do these guys keep from laughing? That's my question. Is pop culture to blame? No, that biochemical thing we were talking about, remember? That's to blame. Anyway, it's unclear whether Bensley was intoxicated on drugs at the time of the attack, but police said a psychiatric evaluation is pending. Why would you evaluate him psychiatrically? You don't need to do that. You need to look and see what pop culture did, remember? Maybe it was one of those Anne Rice books. Maybe it's True Blood. Maybe it's Twilight. Maybe it's Twilight Zone. Maybe it's Dracula, Dracula, or just Drac. Bensley's alleged vampire-inspired attack and apparent lament for his superhuman needs brings to mind movies from the, there you go, Twilight saga and the HBO series True Blood, both of which have a devoted following, according to experts. Yes, after every True Blood and every Twilight saga, kids run out into the streets wanting to be vampires. That culture, some experts said, could serve as inspiration for people who suffer from mental illness. Now listen to this. This is Josh Klapow, who's a clinical psychologist. And the content of a psychotic episode very often draws from the real world. Vampires are very prominent in our society right now from a pop culture standpoint, and that information can feed into hallucinations. All right, do you hear what he said? He didn't say that the pop culture is causing people to be nuts. He's saying that the pop culture may feed into a nuts brain and create vampire hallucinations as opposed to Napoleon Bonaparte hallucinations, as opposed to Jesus Christ hallucinations.
Well, what you're saying then is the guy's still nuts.
Yes, he's still nuts. But what the doctor here is saying is that depending upon what the imagery is in society, that's what the hallucination... The guy's going to hallucinate, okay?
So the guy's going to flip out anyway.
He's going to flip out either... Back in the day, you remember when they used to see cartoons? Guys would think they were Napoleon. Napoleon was a big deal back in the 19th century. He was internationally known. He was famous. So the nut houses were full of guys who thought they were Napoleon. Very, very famous hallucination, in fact, to the point that it lasted through the 20th century in popular culture. We'd hear about these guys that thought they were Napoleon with their hand in their jacket bouncing off the walls at a nut house. Then there's guys that always said they were Jesus. We know about them. That's now you got people that think they're vampires. Now you got people that think that they're Dracula. Maybe there's probably some guy out there that thinks he's the... You know, the head, the guy that started all the vampires, whoever that is.
Who's that?
I don't know. What do you mean, who's that?
Who's the first guy?
I don't know. There's no such thing as vampires. Anyway, that's Dr. Josh Klapow. Hallucinations, multisensory experiences not based in reality, can stem from substance abuse, mania brought on by bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia. And vampires, Klapow said, are good fodder. If you look at the content of these sorts of hallucinations, even though the characters are slightly different, the themes tend to be similar, he said, describing the Comedy Reported hallucinations of being a powerful religious figure like Jesus or a supernatural being. The richer the content, the more prevalent it is, and the more nuances there are to it, the easier it becomes to run with. So if you've got a garden variety crazy guy, and he's going to hallucinate something, he's going to hallucinate whatever. It's just the fact that there's a damaged brain that is taking in all of this sensory stuff, and depending upon what era that damaged brain lives in, that's what the hallucination is going to be, and that's what the guy is, you know.
Yeah, so that guy thought he's in his underwear thinking a vampire. Like, what? Why didn't he think he Napoleon?
There ain't no Napoleon no more.
There's no Napoleon anymore, man. There's vampires.
What about, like, Barack Obama?
Barack Obama, that's not a very powerful hallucination. See, that's not a really powerful hallucination.
Yeah, but Napoleon, what makes him so powerful?
Well, Napoleon had a three-cornered hat. I don't know. I mean, look, that was the 19th century where they didn't have a whole lot. You know, I imagine somebody that was psychotic in the 19th century, whatever came into his sensory receptors, that's what it was. I mean, they didn't have TV and radio in the 19th century. So they didn't have films. So people sort of just grabbed what they could in a damaged brain. Is going to do the same thing. Barack Obama? What are you talking about?
You have a guy thinking Napoleon.
Barack Obama's not as good a hallucination as a vampire. Barack Obama's just this dude. He's the president, which is fine, but he can't fly. He ain't, you know.
Just like a vampire's way better.
A vampire is a way better hallucination. Exactly. For the victim of the alleged attack, who after hearing a noise in her apartment was punched in her bed, dragged into a hallway, pinned against a wall and bitten. The ordeal was horrific. She's never met Bensley and didn't know why he attacked her. His bond is $40,000. He was charged with burglary with intent to commit assault. Boy, that's sick. Boy, that's whack, man. You know?
Yeah, somebody crawl in my house, think they're a vampire, I blow their brains out of their head.
I think that's a very good idea. I think it's a very good idea. This guy could have been dead. He could have been dead. The wrong house, you're dead. Simple as that. The wrong house. Some homeowner raises up with their constitutional rights right there in their hand, and they blow that poor vampire's head off. And then he ain't so much of a vampire, you know?
Well.
What do you mean, well?
If he was real vampire, but not. I know that there's not.
Yeah, if he was a real vampire, then you could have pumped about 19 million shots into him, and he still would have come at you and sucked all your blood out. But he's not a real vampire, so there you go. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. Do nice employees have an edge in the workplace, or do your mean, less agreeable coworkers have the leg up? There's a new study that offers an answer, and we'll have that for you on the Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Pardon me, folks. We're looking for a... what the hell are we looking for, bud?
Looking for find an American flag.
Yeah, we were looking on YouTube for an American flag because we always end our video cast with the Star-Spangled Banner, and we were looking for a decent star... We were actually looking for a good American flag waving in the wind. There are a great many good selections, but there are also selections that the people that created them have really crappy music that they put behind them, so I'm sure you understand. All right, so that's that. Do nice employees. Now, what is this story, bud?
This is about employees to get, you know.
Well, I don't know. Let's see if we want to do this story or not, because, you know, there's only so much time left in the show, and I want to make sure that we've gotten to every bit of information that we have to. Oh, first of all, I want to tell people, because I don't really care about these stories.
Well, I worked really hard, man. I pulled all these stories.
I know you worked hard, but I don't really give a damn about the... I'm not like, you know, we're not such news junkies. Around. I don't care. Now, the first thing I want to say is that we have our look-alike contest.
Yeah, we got to go and check and see how many people put their faces on there. Got to put your face in there.
Yeah, but don't put it like... Why do you talk to people like you're just pushing them around on a sidewalk? All we're looking for is a Phil look-alike. So take a picture of yourself looking like me in my Twitter profile picture. Send it to us at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And we will put it on our homepage, and we will judge and have a winner. We'll announce a winner on Saturday, okay? So everybody should have it done by Friday night. So that's that. And even though the prize is an autographed Legacy CD, you know, Robert thinks that it's cheap and we should do something better. Well, guess what, man? That's the prize. I mean, if we do a contest in the future that's got some real oomph, you know, where we're like giving away something really cool, I'll let you know, man. But it's not going to be this. All right.
Why are you doing this in the first place?
Because some guy had sent me a picture of somebody they thought looked like me. And I said, no, I don't think that guy looks like me. And we got to talking about it, and we decided, well, what the hell? So there's that. What else? All right, so we have that. Well, just get over to our website and get a backstage pass. So this way you'll be able to stay up on everything that's happening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You get all of our archive material. You get all of our daily podcasts. Now, the daily podcast on our show is simply the radio show minus all of the commercials. You can get that the next day. It is uploaded, or downloaded, I should say, directly to your iPod. You can sign up for it through our website and iTunes. Just go to philhendryshow.com. You need to have a backstage pass to get a hold of that. You also can look at our video casts. And, of course, we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of material on our website. If you go over there, you can take a look at that at philhendryshow.com. It may not be nice to, it may not pay to be nice in the workplace. A new study finds that agreeable workers earn significantly lower income than less agreeable ones. The gap is especially wide for men. The researchers examined agreeableness using self-reported survey data and found that men who measured below average on agreeableness earned about 18% more money. $9,772 more annually in their sample than nicer guys. Ruder women, meanwhile, earned about 5% or $1,828 more. Nice guys are getting the shaft, says the study co-author Beth A. Livingston, an assistant professor of human resource studies at Cornell. Well, there is the old saying that nice guys finish last. That was coined by...
Yeah, who said that?
Leo DeRocher was the manager of the Giants, I think, at the time, when he said, nice guys finish last. The study, Do Nice Guys and Gals Really Finish Last?, by Dr. Livingston, Timothy A. Judge of the University of Notre Dame, and Charlize Hurst of the University of Western Ontario, is to be presented on Monday in San Antone at the annual meeting of the Academy of Management, a professional organization for management scholars. So the researchers analyzed data, and they found out, and see, here's the thing. We all know this is true. I mean, I don't think that they're coming up with it. But what they do is they will say, well, this is what we think the perception is. I wonder if it's true or not, you know, that nice guys and nice women, that they get the shaft, you know. It is true. First of all, you can start in your own family. You remember we were talking about Casey Anthony's brother?
Yeah.
That guy, Lee Anthony?
Yeah, he was like the nice guy.
Exactly. Lee Anthony was the nice guy in that family. Well, guess what happened to Lee Anthony? He wasn't allowed to partake in the birth of his niece. Nobody told him about that. He's run around and sent on this errand, and he's run around and sent on that errand, and he's the guy that's got to go find his sister, and he's the guy that's got to go clean up this mess. And you take a look at that mother, that Cindy Anthony, and you knew that, and you saw the father, and then you saw that lion sack of crap, that sister. This guy, Lee Anthony, there's the nice guy in that family. And that's the guy that got the shaft. That's the guy that got treated the worst of all of them. And now you go to the workplace. Well, who the hell, you remember the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know what that means?
Uh-oh.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease means if you make enough noise, people pay attention to you, and they give you what you need.
But what do you mean, squeaky wheel?
If you're the squeaky, if you make a lot of noise, okay?
Yeah.
Then people will pay attention to you.
Well, what do you mean noise?
You know, are you talking about, you're not talking about noise.
I'm talking about, are you guys, you can't be this dumb, you know.
No, you said a squeaky wheel.
I'm saying if you are complaining all the time, people are going to pay attention to you, and they're going to say, gee, why is this person complaining? And they're going to pay attention, they're going to give you the stuff that you need or not or whatever, you know.
What about if they don't?
The point is that people are going to try to find out how to shut you up. Okay? Blah, 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 blah. Some of these people complaining morning, noon, night. How do we shut them up? Okay? So the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Or if you're, you know, you can always just close your ears to it and then close your eyes, close your ears. And next thing you know, you turn around and the things turn into some sort of a, you know, a disease or so. You don't want to do that. So that's what squeaky wheel gets the grease means. So what they're doing with this study is they're basically looking into and studying what we've already known for many years, that if you bitch and you piss, excuse my French, and you moan, then you're going to get people's attention and make more money.
So the moral of the story is be an ass.
The moral of the story is basically, yes, be an ass, and you will get what you want in this world. People won't like you, but who cares about that? You know, it's all about, you know, getting the getting paid, you know.
Yeah.
Get paid. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft. Our associate producers are Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. Our website, philhenryshow.com, for a backstage pass. Make sure you get your pictures to us for the Phil lookalike contest. What else, what else, what else, what else? We'll see you tonight. Thank you. I don't have any flag waving for the anthem, but, you know.
Get one for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Phil Henry.